There's not one like it. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Some really know that. They've been around a while. It is, you know. Of all the churches I've ever spoken, something happened here that never happened in any other church. And that was when I first came here. I was staying with Jack and Rachel Schaefer at their home. I've been there last night. And Larry called me up, you know, and he said, I want to hear how you came to know the Lord. Yeah, he was checking me out. And this is the first time that's ever happened. Someone, you know, when you're a speaker coming, that, you know, most churches kind of take it for granted. This church, no. And Larry grilled me, you know. And, you know, I said it as best I could and tried to cover all the bases. I wanted actually to ask then, Larry, now, how did you get saved? You know, because there are Presbyterians and Presbyterians, you know. You know, that's a wonderful thing about this church. I think that's beautiful. Don't take anything for granted. And to know that those who speak do, you know, really know the Lord. So I always remember that. I thought each time they come, they were going to kind of check me out. But it's just a joy to be here. I'm based now in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm learning Georgian. I'm fixing a lot of things. It's great fun. I've been hearing all about your snow. We threaten snow and everything closes down there. It's amazing. My sons, you know, when the weather comes, if you ever want to hear kids pray fervently, my boys are 12 and 40, pray fervently. It's when there's a threat of snow or cold or ice. They say, Lord, stop school. You know, and it's direct, short prayers, none of this Mickey Mouse or meandering kind of prayers. Boy, they just go for it. And school did get closed. See, God answers prayer. So you kids keep praying. And for other things as well. Well, part of our ministry is books. And I brought up too many. And some of these books I've mentioned before. But we just, part of the ministry of Operation Mobilization, getting books and tapes into the hands of people. You know, one of the exciting things, being on the ships, Lagos and Dulos. Lagos is right now on the west coast of Africa, Dulos in the Philippines, is seeing maybe between the two ships about 3,000 to 5,000 people a day. And people grabbing books. I think I've got an adult class or something. I'm going to share some stories of what God has been doing. But we love books. And here's a brilliant book. I may have mentioned this one before. From Jerusalem to Irian-Jaya. Anyone have this book? From Jerusalem to Irian-Jaya. Anyone figure out this title? If you can figure the title out, you can get this book as a gift. From Jerusalem to Irian-Jaya. What? Come on.
History mentions that Jerusalem was the center of the beginning of mission.
Right.
Irian-Jaya was in Indonesia, and that's where we're having missionaries now.
Wow, very good. Yeah, from Jerusalem to Irian-Jaya. From Jerusalem, where the church began, to Irian-Jaya. This came up to kind of Don Richardson, Peace Child, and so Irian-Jaya. Brilliant. There you go. There's the book for you. Now people start listening. You know, I know these Presbyterians. By the way, my wife, her father was a pastor of a wonderful Presbyterian church in Colorado. I met my wife in Singapore, chased her halfway around the world. These Presbyterians give you a hard time. Now, how many of you have this book, Operation World? Oh, that's great. If you don't have two copies of this, you're a backslider. This brilliant book, 500 pages plus, of all the nations of the world. Incredible? All the nations of the world. And every Christian to have this next to their Bible. You should have a songbook, a Bible, and a prayer book. And this is just incredible. And it's in a calendar format, so you could pray through the world in a year. You could start today, and by next year, today, you're going to pray through the world in a year. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant book, Operation World. And I know I've mentioned these before. Some of you have these. And you can change the world. Patrick, he spent a year with us on the ship, wrote this book. His wife said, we need to do something kind of for families. And his wife, Jill, wrote this book, You Can Change the World, for kids. And oh, here's a map of the countries that are actually covered in this book. It goes from A to Z. You say A to Z, but it's really A to Z. And And it's people groups and countries. It's got maps and pictures, stories. It's beautifully illustrated. And then here is actual prayers, not prayer requests, but seven actual prayers. And I've used these with my boys. Jill's vision was that families once a week would have a global focus devotion around the table at mealtime. Once a week, maybe on a Friday or something. And they would use this book once a week. She actually died of cancer just after this book, and her friend Daphne said, "We got to do the other 26. It's a different cover for some reason. But she wrote 26 more. And it's just fantastic. If you did this as a family once a week, you grandparents, when you get with the kids, do this with them. It would be a fantastic thing. We got some world maps as well you can put on the wall and look at those countries. Just a couple of other things. These are great for teenagers. These are biographies of God's Hall of Fame. This is Bonhoeffer. You know Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Died in the last weeks of the Second World War. An incredible man. And we've got a series of these on William Carey and others that are great for kids. I want to mention a book. Our president, he told me I've got to push this. Our president wrote a book with focus on the family that is quite brilliant and easy to read. It's called Boomers, Exes, and Other Strangers. And what it is, it's a look at this century on the generations and how things have happened. The 20s, happy days are here again. The 30s, brother, can you spare me a dime? The 40s, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The 50s, rock around the clock. The 60s, times they are a-changing. The 70s, bridge over troubled water. The 80s, we are the world. The 90s, candle in the wind. It is an excellent understanding of the world. It's got on the back this little brilliant flip, just giving you a kind of a snapshot of the 20s, 30s, right through to this century. Just kind of exposing what are the cultural phenomena that have impacted our society and how they impact us today. And it's well written, easy to read, and you'd like that book. Now this is one book. As I wrap up the books here, that maybe I shouldn't mention in church. But Bill Perkins, a friend of mine, he's a pastor in Portland, and he wrote this book. You know, there are some books you pick up and you read them in one sitting. You ever do that? You just can't put it down. Other books, you know, you start, put down, restart about 10 times. You think, maybe it's the book, maybe it's me. But this book is... it's called When Good Men Are Tempted. Any good men here? Any men that are tempted? Any good men that are tempted? Join the club. And a battle every day. Now, I shouldn't read the first chapter in church, that's for sure. But, you know, you don't have to invite me back. So it says, why naked women look so good? And all the men said... This is one unusual book. And I tell you, men, if you're struggling, get this book. If you're not struggling and lying, get it to somebody else. Wives, if you know your husband is struggling and doesn't admit it, you get it for him. If he doesn't like reading, you read it to him. A chapter a night in bed probably is a good place. The last three pages are worth the book. Just excellent. Young people, read the last three pages of this book. Women don't read the last three pages. But that is a great book. For you that don't read, here's a couple of tapes. The Five Languages of Love for Children is excellent. And then George Boer, the founder of our mission, he came to my Bible school on Wednesday morning, 24 years ago, never forgiven him, in London, England. Never knew he, that morning, would set the course of my life. You know, I actually believe this morning could impact somebody's life and impact them for the rest of their life. I actually believe that. Not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit. And George came into that meeting Wednesday morning in a chapel meeting and spoke. You know what he said? He got up. He was late, so he couldn't kind of beat about the bush. He just said, "So what are you doing for God?" I still remember that. And he challenged us to go to France for a summer. And I went to France, then to Turkey, then to India. And it's been, you know, we have a phrase, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years to stay. You like that? 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years to stay. That's what happened to me. He never told me that. But he's an incredible guy. The thing that impacted me about George was his openness. And he wrote this. These are two tapes of messages. Failure, Restoration, and Forgiveness. forgiveness. The confessions of a weak servant. If you're a struggling person today, you know, you're just a struggler. You know, it's getting out of bed, putting one foot in front of the other. You've messed up in some area of your life. This is a tape for you. If you know somebody that's really just going through the mill and they wonder which way is up and what's going to happen to their lives, this is a great couple of tapes. He breaks every rule in the homiletical preaching book, but don't worry about it. But those are some great... Who doesn't like reading? Anyone struggle? Oh, I was going to give you a free tape. No one. Great. Anyone? All the hands go up now. Brilliant. Well, we heard read this morning this incredible prayer. The Lord's Prayer. And I want to just read it again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, this is your word. Lord Jesus, you gave this prayer. Touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our wills, touch our feet. Amen. It's an amazing prayer, isn't it? Never been bettered, huh? You ever wonder whether you should actually pray this prayer? You know, kind of word for word as it's given. Some say that, you know, a literal prayer, you pray it. Others say, no, this is a model of how you should pray. Actually, it's probably both. It's interesting, Luke's account, he says, and when you pray, say, and it seems, actually pray these words. But Matthew seems to suggest the idea of, no, use this as a model, a way of praying, an outline. For this then is how you should pray, the way you should pray. And so it's both. There are times we can actually just pray this prayer, literally. When you pray, say, and pray this. And other times you can take it as a model. And when you pray, this is how you should pray. This is the kind of way you should go at it. And the thing that impacts me about this prayer as you have this missions focus this month is this thing right here. Yours and ours. That this is the real issue of this prayer. Which comes, what order? What order? Yours and ours. You know, I remember when I went out to India, young fellow, we drove overland to India. From Belgium, 40 of us, and a couple of trucks, a couple of minivans, all the way, oh, I got my world map, so this helps. And from England, from Belgium, no, we didn't go from England, they didn't have the tunnel then. From Belgium, we went all the way through Europe, and Turkey, and Iran, and right, boy, things are happening in Iran, aren't they? An amazing 20 years later. Right round, all the way through Pakistan, right to India. Took us 3-4 weeks, an amazing trip. That was an education just in itself. And we got to India. And India, for me, those years I was there, what an experience. And I remember one time, I was praying, just by myself, and I'd never had this experience before, and I've never had it since, quite like this. And I was praying, and it was just like the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and stopped me praying. Now, I thought my prayers were pretty good. You know, I'm even better in public. And, you know, I dot the I's and cross the T's. And I thought it was a pretty good prayer. But the Lord, it was just like, as I say, he put his hand on my shoulder, stopped me praying. And he said, Richard, your prayers are like the ripples on a pond. They start with you, and they slowly work out. And they don't get very far. And I knew he was right. They start with you, and they slowly work out. Ours. He said, I want your prayers to be like the waves of the sea that start out and come in. And the Lord flipped my prayer life. He just said, it's okay, just flip it. Just flip it. Get the order right. The sequence. And as Jesus gives this prayer, which is a revolutionary prayer, because it's not the natural way of praying. The natural way of praying is you start with yours and you work out. The revolutionary way of praying is to start out and come in. And this prayer is yours after ours. Because it's first yours. Yours. Yours before ours. First. It starts with yours. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, yours. That is, that your name be exalted. Your name be exalted. Your name be lifted up. That's why I love the worship this morning. That great hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. I studied under J.I. Packer. Do you know that name, wrote Knowing God? Studied under him at Regent College in Vancouver, Canada. This was his favorite hymn. He said, this is the greatest hymn ever written. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song, our song shall rise to thee. Why early in the morning? Because first things first, that your name be exalted. And you know, every day, every morning, the first thing we should get up and exalt his name. That's the first thing I do in my devotions. Just lift up his name. Lift up his name with words of exaltation, with a song, often a new song, never sung before, never be sung again. And just exalt his name. That's the passion of mission, to exalt his name. One book I didn't mention here. Anyone read this book by Piper, John Piper? Incredible book, isn't it? Isn't it incredible? Two witnesses here. That's all you need, two witnesses. Incredible book. Mind you, this is steak. This is not McDonald's, is it? This is something to get your teeth into. But this is an extraordinary book. Let me just read this to you, the opening paragraph. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions. Because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity. But worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal in missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions, we simply aim to bring the nations into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. Ooh, what a phrase. It's the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad, says Psalm 97 verse 1. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. But worship is also the fuel of missions. Passion for God in worship precedes the offering of God in preaching. That's why you can tell a lot about a church by its worship, not just its preaching. Passion for God in worship precedes the offer of God in preaching. You can't commend what you don't cherish. You can't commend what you don't cherish. Missionaries will never call out, "Let the nations be glad," who cannot say from their heart, "I rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad and exalt in thee. I will sing and praise thy name, O Most High." Missions begins and ends in worship. Isn't that great? Brilliant. Brilliant. And so the Lord's Prayer starts, "That your name be exalted. In my life, Lord, in my family, in my neighborhood, Lord, in my school, in my office, in the elections going on in South Carolina. Lord, in this whole nation, in the nations of the earth, your name be exalted. That 70,000 people today will name the name of Jesus for the first time. And what do I want? I want them to find that the name of Jesus is sweet. And that they become a worshiping person who exalts the Father." That's mission. You know, we sometimes think it's about getting money and doing, you know, all this stuff. Oh, it's exalting the Father. And as we exalt His name, then we want to extend His reign. We want to extend His reign. That your kingdom come. That your kingdom come. Your reign be extended. And say, "Lord, let again, first today, your reign be extended in my life. Every area of my life, Lord. Every closet. That messy room. Lord, come in, clean it up. Clean it up. That room I've got all neat and straight. You can mess it up, Lord. You have control in every room. You can see the dirty laundry, Lord. And there's some of that. But your reign be extended in my life, Lord. Every area of my life. And your reign be extended in my boys, Lord. My wife, Lord. My neighbors, Lord. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. That your reign today, your rule in the lives of people. It's not to make you Lord, it's because you are Lord. You are Lord. It's just that people haven't recognized it. They haven't bowed the knee. And I want them to bow the knee voluntarily before one day you come and they have to bow it whether they like it or not. But then it's too late. Then it's too late. That your reign be extended. And then your will be executed. Your name be exalted, O God. Your reign be extended. Your will be executed. For your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, the way it's done in heaven. For it to be done like that on earth. I've wondered, how is it done in heaven? It'd be lovely to kind of... We do get glimpses. When the Father tells an angel, "Get to it." I don't think they have a committee meeting. You know, let's have a 3-year plan of discussing that. I think when they know what the Father wants, warp speed, boom, do it. And when you look at their faces, they're doing it gladly. Yes. Immediately. Yes. They're doing it completely. About 4 years ago, I was on a beach in Panama. I'd come to visit the ship Lagos there. And I was walking up and down the beach early in the mornings, talking to the Lord, singing. And I suddenly became sensed that He wanted to say something to me. And I stood there. And I just sensed the Lord speaking to my heart. Richard, you're joining that ship. And I stood there. I went, huh? And I just knew it was God speaking to me. You're joining that ship. I was visiting the ship. I said, Lord, I've been on the ships, those ships. They're getting smaller, I'm getting bigger. And I knew it was God's word. And then I said, Lord, I can't sacrifice. See, I had a discussion with Him. I can't sacrifice my children. They get to an age where the ship gets small. And God said two words to me. Abraham did. And I stood there before God and I had nothing to say. You ever done that with God? I stood there. I had nothing to say. And as I walked 15 minutes back to the ship, I knew we as a family were joining the ship. Didn't know how, didn't know when, didn't know the position. But I just knew. Your will be executed. Lord, to say yes, Lord. Immediately, Lord. Gladly, Lord. Whatever, Lord. When I flew home to back to my wife, Rachel, I thought I'd better talk to her about this. I took the boys to school, sat with my wife at breakfast. She looked at me. She said, Richard, you want us to join the ship, don't you? I said, how did you know that? She said, I know. She said, for 2 months the Lord has been speaking to me. And we joined the ship for that 2-year period. When God speaks to you, you're going to do it. Some of you, God is speaking to you about a short-term mission trip. You're going to do it? You're going to do it? I was in a church in New Mexico about 4 months ago. It was a Saturday night. I was just sharing a little bit. They'd been the main speaker. I was just kind of sharing. And God had spoken to me, woke me up. And I'm careful about this. I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm super spiritual. You know, some of you look at me like, that's okay, I am a bit. And one early morning, God deals with us in different ways. We're different personalities, but this is how God deals with me. This isn't in the notes. Where are the notes, by the way? And I woke up, sometimes this happens. I woke up at 2 in the morning, and there was a word just before me. And it was the word Rome. Rome. And I was so by this, I couldn't go to bed. I walked up and down my road. They think I'm a bit of a nutter. They're absolutely right. Actually, one of the policemen stopped me one time and, said, the neighbors have been wondering, who's this fellow? And you have a jaywalking thing, don't you? I was stopped for prey walking. And I told him, I sort of live here and I'm with a group called Operation Mobile. Operation, okay. So let me go. And, but I went walking just to talk this through. Italy, Rome. And, this year the Pope is calling 30 to 60 million pilgrims from around the world to come to Rome, Italy. It's the year of Jubilee, setting the captives free. And in the Basilica, he said, if you go through those doors, you will receive forgiveness of sins. You just go through those doors. This side, no forgiveness. This side, boom, forgiveness. It's pretty good, isn't it? Huh? And he's expecting 30 to 60 million Catholics from all over the world to come to Rome. In fact, there's going to be so many coming, But they're going to make 12 other mock doors. So, you know, they can get them all through. And God has spoken to different groups, focused on the Family Camps, Crusade for Christ, and others, about let's go to Rome and say there is a door. Jesus is the door. You go through him, you find life. You want forgiveness? It's through him. But God just said Rome. It was about a week or two later, I went to this church in New Mexico, this Saturday night. They were having a salad thing or whatever. And I got up, and I just shared about Rome. And I said, what about a team of 25 coming with me to Rome? And I sort of caught myself because I thought, boy, I haven't even shared this with the pastor. You know, who is this fellow? Well, the pastor, right after I'd spoken, gets up. He says, well, I'm going. What about, I need 24 others. I looked at him. I thought, boy, this isn't how they do church. We got a team of 25 from that church with the pastor going to Rome in July. They never done anything like this before. And I thought, your will be done. You know, to respond to God as soon as he speaks to you. And as we walk longer and closer to God, that we respond quicker. Isn't that, you know, don't you parents love that with your kids? That as they grow, they don't respond slower and get into a great discussion and great dialogue and the nuances of what you said and how you said it. But, yes. And whenever that happens, the parents sort of, whoo! You know, go into comatose. Whoo! And I thank God sometimes, you know, that your will in heaven is done. That it be done on earth like that. Immediately, gladly. Yes, completely. This fall I want to bring a team to Italy. Oops. But it's yours first. That your name be exalted, that your reign be extended, that your will be executed. And then he says, then there's ours. Then there's ours. But ours comes after. See, this prayer is yours before ours. But then it's ours after yours. Now some here could be so spiritual, they could say, Lord, it's just yours. It's just yours, Lord. And the Lord would say, no, it's not just mine. It's yours as well. But it's mine first. And then it's ours. And if God's got three things he wants, his name, his reign, his will, then we've got three basic things as well. That our needs be provided. Give us today our daily bread. You got needs? Not greeds. Pray for a car, but maybe not a BMW. Or dinner tonight, but maybe not steak. But our needs be provided. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When you see needs provided. God just giving you. Anyone met a need this week that surprised you? Anyone heard that? We just had somebody in our church back at Atlanta needed a car. Somebody gave him a car. Just gave it to them. They were so astonished. In the prayer meeting Wednesday night, they're just kind of going around, you know, in a daze. And that was a real need for that family. Somebody just gave them. That your needs be provided this week. Your needs be provided. And your sins be pardoned. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. our sins be pardoned. You know any sins need pardoning? I have. This morning I was confessing sin. As we've forgiven our debtors. It's interesting when he goes on to verse 14, if you've forgiven men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you've not forgiven men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's interesting, of the whole prayer, the thing that he elaborates on is forgiveness of sin. Because some people choose bitterness over forgiveness. Bitterness over forgiveness. And every one of us has people we need to forgive before God will forgive us. Now it's interesting, I believe there's forgiveness of salvation at the cross, but daily forgiveness of sin, that God won't forgive you if you haven't forgiven others. And that actually if you live that lifestyle of bitterness, not forgiveness, then actually you've probably not been saved anyway. Because how can you not forgive somebody for this little thing when God has forgiven you for so much? We know the parable. Any bitterness in your heart towards someone? You need to forgive them. Get with them today. Phone them up. Send them an email. Forgive. Just do it. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's not how you feel. It's a will thing. When I sat by my father's bed and watched the monitor with the heartbeat until it became a line and he died, you know what I did? I turned to God and I said, God, I thank you that I forgave him. I thank you that I forgave him. Because there I was born with my twin sister. In fact, they didn't know I was born. Didn't know I was in there. This was before scanning. They pulled out Jane. Then they looked in and said, whoops, there's another one. And Dad had walked in the hospital. And when he heard Mum had twins, he fainted. He just went straight. He's a great big guy, loved his beer, had a great big gut. They come in handy. And he'd just gone straight down. Boom, 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 boom. A couple of nurses, as the big fella, picked him up. And when he heard Mum still had twins, he walked out of the hospital and out of our lives for 20 years. I met him 20 years later, Christmas Eve. That was quite a Christmas. And then he died 3 months later of a massive heart attack. And as I watched him die, and then I said, Father, I thank you that I had forgiven him. And so many people on the deathbed of somebody say, Father, I wish I'd forgiven him. It's too late. Too late. It says, forgive us our debts as we have also have forgiven, past tense, our debtors. Anyone you haven't forgiven? Forgive. That our needs be provided, our sins be pardoned, and our way be protected. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, beloved, it's a revolutionary prayer. It's yours before ours, but then it's ours after yours. And what a way to pray. So if your prayer life is ours before yours, flip it. Just flip it. Start your prayer life with exalting his name, with seeing his reign extended. That's why I love that Op World book, Operation World. And I pray for a nation every day because I want to pray out. That God's reign be extended. God's reign be extended. And his will be executed. Lord, let it be done in my life and in every life today. Let it be done in the president's life today. And then it can be ours. Our needs be provided. Our sins be pardoned. Our way be protected. Amen? Let's stand, shall we? Let's stand. And as we close, just close your eyes. You know that pancake in the frying pan? You just kind of flip it up and turn it over the other side. And I just believe the Lord would take us today and just flip us. And get it the right way up, the right order. That we say today, Lord, it's yours before ours. Let's just say the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.